Third and three. Fields, open field, and a touchdown. Well, after no signs of life the first three series, the Steelers this time go 70 yards for the touchdown. Second and seven.
Austin cuts ahead. Austin to the 20. Foot race to the 10. He's across for the touchdown.
And last year, everybody was talking about how they were going to probably end up with the first pick and jettison Justin, which they did for a sixth-round draft pick, by the way. And now he's undefeated as the signal caller for the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, of course, huge play. They were just in zone quarters, and you really just, you know, high-lowing that, you know, hook defender. The hook defender took GP underneath, and, you know, Calvin was right behind him. So, you know, great play call in that situation, of course. You know, you always appreciate the yak, the yards after the catch that Calvin got us, and, of course, it was a huge play for us.
Oh, yeah, Bob. Courtesy of CBS Sports right there, those highlights. I'm ready for an overreaction Monday. I'm all in on it. I'm all in on this.
We normally get an overreaction on the negative side. So now I think there should be a very interesting response to this game.
Let's go there, shall we? Let's go there. Three things. It's time for the three things from 93.7 Annals. You may remember that. If not, that's okay. The three things are these, Bob, and you can tell me if I'm overreacting. The Steelers have a new quarterback. His name is Justin Fields. I don't care if Russell Wilson is declared not just 100%, but 150% healthy for the next game or the game after that, pending, you know, a Fields meltdown, and I don't see that. They have a new quarterback, Justin Fields. Number two, this is the best Steeler defense since 2010 under Mike Tomlin. You may have noticed 10 points or less in the first three games. First time since 1973. They're healthy. They're rested. They're star-laden. They're violent. They knocked a quarterback out of the game yesterday and knocked about six other people out of the game. Best defense since 2010. Number three, there are certain games early in seasons where you announce yourself. We are to be taken seriously. We could represent our conference in the Super Bowl. I think the Steelers made that announcement yesterday. Is that a prediction? Do I think they're going into Kansas City to win the AFC title game? No, none of that. None of that. But there are certain games, even knowing that the opener can be fluky, September can be fluky, there are just certain games where you announce yourself to the world, and I think the Steelers did that yesterday. You tell me, after you tell me how much you like my hat and how you are today, your take on those three possible overreactions.
First of all, I love your hat.
Thank you.
University of Buffalo, which beat Northern Illinois,
which beat Notre Dame,
which means you have a chance to be better than Notre Dame. So I want to get that out of the way fast. That's why you wore that, right?
Thank you. Ron Cook Jr. finally graduated, by the way. So I believe he moved back with his father in Florida, Ron Cook.
Well,
our Ron Cook.
I heard he was in town recently, too. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah. I never got a call. Ron, come on.
Tell me a little more about that. Forget the Steelers. What was he doing here?
He was here visiting. I'm not sure who he was visiting, but he didn't visit us. Now, I'm somewhat saddened by
that. I'm hurt by that. Very hurt
by
that.
But everyone who saw him said he looks tremendous. He's lost a lot of weight. He's healthy. He's smiling. He's doing all the things that we didn't see from Ron when he was here.
I'm hardly ready to call Fields the starter. I remember when Bubby Brister was here. Terry Hanratty, they thought, was a starter too. Go ahead, Bob.
Defense is healthy. That's the most important thing. And when it is,
best
you're
defense
get,
since 2010 get, under Tomlin.
Probably yes. I mean, I can't think of a team. Again, it's three games, so we got to keep that in mind. But this is an overreaction Monday, so I'll overreact. Yes, it is. And it can be devastating. And again, I keep thinking about numbers like minus 5 yards on an offense that was generating 197 rushing yards per game with Justin Herbert as their quarterback.
Yes.
What they did in the second half was better maybe than any defensive performance they've had maybe all time in the second half. L.A. went into that halftime with 173 yards. They left the game with 168.
Do we have a number
minus
on that?
Five.
Have they ever held a team to below minus five in any half
five,
of any game?
Five sacks, knocked out four guys, everything. And that was a physical game. Everybody knew it coming in.
Oh, it was great.
And so, therefore, they won that to the point where it was an unconditional surrender, I thought, by the Chargers. At the end of the game, they just knew.
Took
they
their
were
will
done.
Away. Took their defensive
There's nothing
will
better
away.
If you're a defensive player and a defensive coach than seeing you take the will away from the other team.
Yeah.
That is just got to be, in and of itself, something that makes you think, we got something pretty special.
So
here,
you so. Don't think I overreacted on best defense since 2010?
No, I don't.
How about Justin Fields
Again,
as the quarterback?
It's over three games.
Here's
I want to keep saying that.
I don't think I'm overreacting. I'm just putting it under the umbrella of Overreaction Monday. How about my second theory? Or statement.
Justin
or
Fields,
opinion.
They should ride him as long as they can. And Russell Wilson is not going to play.
But that implies, Bob.
But again, I'm going to say it's a short three games.
Things for sure.
If I had told you that Justin Fields would be the start, let's say when training camp began, Justin Fields is going to be your starter for the first three games. You may never see Russell Wilson. Fields is going to run, you know, and run an offense efficiently. You would have said, no, wait a minute. Now, first of all, he had his issues in Chicago coming here. There was a ramp up. They brought in Russell Wilson for a reason. He doesn't make mistakes. Fields does. They're going to go with the guy who protects the football. Well, guess what's happened? He has been coached properly. I think the change of scenery has helped him quite a bit, and he's protected the football. And even that interception yesterday, I don't think it was an unlucky bounce.
He
shouldn't have thrown it, but
he threw other balls like that yesterday that were right on the money.
Right,
in fact, the one at the goal line was the same throw where Cordero made an unbelievable catch, by the way, underneath his right leg. But that was the same play.
Right.
But what you just said implied they should ride him as long as it goes. He's the guy now, which means the question then becomes, has he earned a bad game and still to be the starter? What you just said implies, let's ride this out until he plays poorly, mm-hmm. then we'll go to Russell. That's not the way I'm thinking.
I think he has earned one mulligan at least. If there's a bad game and he has a bad day, which if you look around the league, you'll see terrible throws by really good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's earned that. And why wouldn't you earn that? And I also think down deep, the Steelers know they have a 25-year-old kid here.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about future, you're talking about 25 versus 36 years old in Russell Wilson.
Well, that's the other thing.
You have to make a decision at some point and get to the bottom of your quarterback search.
Yeah, I think they've gotten to the bottom of it.
Well,
and
again,
I think this is the guy. In Mike Tomlin's head, I definitely think it makes too much sense. He's the young guy that you brought in to perhaps build your future with. Why would you pull him now, even after a bad game? Let him have a bad game and stay with him. That's where I'm at, and I'm a Russell Wilson fan.
Yeah, I agree. He's earned at least one of those mulligans. Now, if there's back-to-back bad games and there's four interceptions in 2 weeks and they lose both, I get it. You have a 36-year-old nine-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Fame worthy, I guess, and you know he's there for a reason. So
now,
I also think that's good for Justin Fields. He understands that guy's breathing down his neck, and he has a resume that he doesn't.
Right.
So you got to keep that moving forward. I love his attitude. Number one, he is even keeled. He doesn't show you a whole bunch of emotion because I think he realizes that this can change in a heartbeat. He's going to keep his nose to the grindstone here and keep working. So I think that's a very good situation. At the end of the year, if he is that guy, then they figured out who's going to be their starter, and then they're going to come up with a deal that makes sense for both, which would not be
easy. Or they trade Russell Wilson in the meantime.
Well,
I hear Miami needs a quarterback.
Miami lost Skylar Thompson yesterday after losing Tua. They got throttled yesterday.
All right, theory number three, Bob. You agree with me that this is the best Steelers defense since 2010. You agree with me, I think, that Justin Fields is the new quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, regardless of whether Russell Wilson is healthy. Number three, this was that kind of – really, the final score should have been 27-10. That would have reflected the physical pounding they put on them. Steelers decided to be good sports at the end of the game, and God bless them for that, Bob. But I also thought at the same time they basically took a megaphone and shouted out to the rest of the AFC and the rest of the football world, if you didn't believe the first 2 weeks, fine. What do you think of us now? We're going to be here for a while. I think they're suddenly – one of a handful of teams that could dethrone the Chiefs. I think they have that kind of defense and that kind of team right now. You?
I'm not going to go that far right now because, again, I have to go with this from what we've seen is 3 weeks. And I want to see more. I think things can change. Look at the Chargers, for example.
Yeah.
Like if Herbert is out for who knows, you know, how long this could be, because those things never seem to really go away. You got to, you know, just look at Roman Wilson. It's been 2 months. Finally, you know, if it's same thing, high ankle. I don't know what degree of a high ankle sprain.
Well, of course, injuries. But, I mean, of course, injuries.
But
if TJ Watt goes out, everything's out the window.
When you say Super Bowl, I'm not going to go that far. What
I didn't
I am
say
gonna
Super
say,
Bowl. I said they're one of a handful of contenders that is now in position to threaten Kansas City and get there.
Kansas City. I think that's a possibility, but I also think the end of the season will dictate everything, because all these games, they have an opportunity to really take advantage. And I think we talked about this. They need to build up some equity here, some insulation on their schedule, so they know at the end of the year they don't have to run a table or win 5 of 6 to get in anything. So I think they're starting to do that, and I really think they could be a difficult to, if they stay healthy on defense especially. No one's going to want to face that defense. But I will say this, if Herbert was not knocked out of that game, it was early in the third quarter, everything changed like right after that.
Yeah,
you know, I think they knew they couldn't, they pinned their ears back, go after people.
Sure.
Would if Herbert had stayed in the game, what do you think would have happened?
Steelers would have pounded them and won the game.
Still?
Because that was...
You don't think it would have been closer?
No, I don't. In fact, that's the way it was headed anyway. He got hurt because 18 guys landed on him. And then he came out, I believe, didn't he have 2 3-and-outs at the beginning of the second half?
Yeah, but I also think he's, you know, he had 2 3-and-outs at the beginning of the game. And then he put together a wonderful drive in which he made a great throw.
He's really good.
He is really good.
Don't get me wrong, but I think they had seized physical control.
No, I'm not saying
that.
But what I am saying is it's 3 games. And even though I want to participate in over the actions on
so
Monday,
that one you'll pull back on.
I just want to see more. That's all.
Well, we all do. I mean, but all we have is 3-0. And as Andrew Filippone tweeted out, this is the fourth time the Steelers have started 3-0 under Tomlin. They won the AFC North the 3 previous times, 07, 10, and 20. And here's my last overreaction. That I don't think is an overreaction. They're now the favorites in the AFC North. I don't think there's any question.
No,
about
I agree
that.
With that. And until that's proven differently, and again, I think Baltimore came very close to blowing a game yesterday again for the second week in a row because they just got too complacent. I thought anyway, Cincinnati still is going to be a problem.
We'll see.
I think they're going to win tonight and win big. They have to.
Let's see if they win a game before we call them a potential problem. Let's see if they win a game.
But you're using the same philosophy I am. You want to see more. You haven't seen enough from Cincinnati to make you think they're still good. I'm saying with the Steelers, overreact 3-0 all you want. We need to see more. It has to be, you know, game. The NFL's showed me one thing over and over again, and I keep coming back to it. It changes week to week.
For sure.
For the fact that Tampa Bay laid an egg at home after they went to Detroit
for sure.
And won.
And injuries can do that,
absolutely.
Bob. But the NFL hasn't shown the Steelers after 3-0 starts that you come back to earth, because every time they've done it, they've won the division.
Well, they have, but 11-0 a few years ago, then they, you know, down the stretch it changed dramatically. They won the division, but they did not go into the playoffs in the right way.
No,
so that's
didn't.
What I'm talking
and,
about.
And that was an offense that got figured out. It was a one-dimensional Randy Feuchner throw short, run long offense that Washington, of all teams, figured out, and the Steelers fell apart. And I don't see that happening with this group. I don't. Running game is, first of all, is way better. Second of all, Bob, look who's on the schedule coming up here.
Well, that's
Anthony
the encouraging
Richardson,
thing. That's the
he
encouraging.
Might be the worst starting quarterback in football right now. The Raiders coming off that game yesterday. The Giants. This ain't the Cleveland Browns here. They're going to beat the Giants into submission.
I would venture to say they're going to be favored in all of those games, right? Even though Indy,
Dallas,
is,
Vegas, home against the Jets and the Giants. They'll be favored in every game.
Every game.
Pending injury.
So there's realistic opportunity
here. And Washington
here.
After that.
Right. And that's after that. If you build up a schedule that could be, what is that, 7-1? Whatever the case may be, you're going to be in great shape going into that,
yes.
that stretch where it's
yeah.
going to be really difficult football. But I'm very encouraged by this defense more than anything else, and I think Justin Fields has made people believe that the talent was always there, that in Chicago he was being mismanaged, that they had no clue about what they were doing offensively, and he paid the price for that. They soured on him, but the biggest thing of all that I still can't believe, and we addressed this when it happened, how in the world was he available for only a 6th-round draft pick? How is that possible?
I mean, people watch his games.
Did you watch
in
the NFL? I watch all
he
these
was
games.
10-28.
I watch all these games, and I see some of these quarterbacks who are available. And you're going to tell me nobody wanted him as just somebody at 24 at the time who's had all this experience, bad most of it. But come on, nobody wanted more. I give the Steelers a lot of credit for
so
hanging in there, wanting him and getting him. And it could be the biggest bargain. And Tony Romo pretty much said that yesterday.
That was, oh man, was he effusive in his praise? And I think. Listen, even after last week, I was like, I don't think Fields has done enough here. You got to do a lot to seize the number one quarterback job, whether you're going against Russell Wilson or most guys in the league. That's a big deal. He did yesterday. He's gotten better and better. And yesterday was an A-plus performance. He matched. Herbert was on fire early in the game, and Fields matched him. He matched him, and then in the second half, he took over. He was throwing balls to the boundary. He was throwing them down the seams. He was throwing them right over the middle. He has great accuracy on the short ball. Even the ball behind the line of scrimmage, the one swing to Patterson, another one to Freiermuth, that's where Kenny Pickett was so bad.
Right.
Kenny Pickett would throw a wide receiver screen into the dirt or would throw it in such a way that his receiver couldn't catch it and run with it. That's where Fields has really surprised me. Yesterday, he was pinpoint accurate from behind the line to 5 yards in front of the line to 25 yards down the field. I mean, this guy was on fire. And that brings up something here, Bob. And Limits. Oh, my God. How are you, Limits? I forgot about you. We were so impassioned. Bob,
good
would
morning.
You say you're sorry, too, to Limits?
I wasn't controlling it the way you were. If I had, he would have been on by now.
Bob, Joe, I'd like to officially welcome you guys as the leader in the clubhouse of the Justin Field train. I'm glad that you can hop on board with me today.
How about this guy? You know who else he called? Sam Darnold.
The MVP of the league right now.
He
Everybody
called
that gave
before
up.
The season.
They gave up on my guy, Sam Darnold. And look, you give him a good situation. You give him some weapons.
Well,
they're
I think
3-0 and thriving.
Their head coach is really good, too. He knows how
He's
to put guys
really
in
good.
Situations to win. And, man, what he did yesterday was great. How about Andy Dalton, if you're going to go down that road? A guy who just I can't believe that. That's my point about this week-to-week thing. Carolina looked like awful, worst doormat team
right.
2 weeks in a row. And then they go to L.A.
But here's the thing,
or Vegas, who just beat Baltimore. I just
this stuff travels. That's the thing.
Oh, I know it travels.
This stuff travels.
I know it does.
And they got Anthony Richardson next weekend.
He's not good.
They're going to win that game.
But the one thing he offers that they haven't really I would say Bo Nix does offer this, and he played well yesterday, by the way, is the ability to escape, and he's a physical guy.
For sure.
So there is that dimension that they're going to have to be concerned with. But his passing, if they can keep him in a pocket – Joey Porter will have a big day, I think.
412-928-9370. We'd love to talk to you here on Overreaction Monday that I don't think is an overreaction. The Steelers are now the favorite in the AFC North. Bob and I agree on that. Do
yes.
you? Justin Fields is now, he's the new quarterback. Russell Wilson may never start a game here. I think that's starting to become a potential reality. It's starting
you wouldn't make that bet, though, would you?
I would, yeah.
Because it's a long season, Joe.
I would make that bet.
You basically said he won't start a game. There are a lot of things that can happen that would force him in there.
Injury would, barring injury, an injury could happen, obviously, okay. to anybody.
Well, that's you but made I, the amendment. That's good.
Another thing with Fields, by the way, is he's very smart and judicious on how he scrambles.
Yes.
Which I also, you know, you never know. Whenever the Penguins make a trade, we all pretend we know about this guy or the Pirates, and you don't know a player until you see him game in and game out. So I had some ideas about Justin Fields that were probably incorrect. He's extremely smart in how he uses that incredible athleticism as a runner. Took a sack or two yesterday. He slides. He does all the things. He hasn't taken monster hits yet because he's smart about it. But barring injury, I do believe that Russell Wilson will not play, will not start, I should say, a game this season. Do you at 928-9370? And the third overreaction, which you can agree or disagree with, is this is the Steelers' best defense since 2010. I got Bob to agree with that one, didn't I, Bob?
Yeah, I have no reason to think it isn't. You know, I do think if Ryan Shazier had been healthy and played after 2017, they had some pieces there, would have made it really.
Yeah.
You know, but this performance, again, it's one game, it's three games, whatever it may be, shows you that when healthy, they can come at you with a lot of different people, and they don't even have to blitz, which is one of the most amazing things to me. I thought, especially against Bo Nix, they would do it. They didn't have to, because they got enough pressure up front with the guys that were doing it, which freed up everyone. And in the middle, finally, this linebacking core inside looks like one of the better ones. And yeah. Patrick Queen is getting better step by step by step.
Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. That's another thing you just reminded me of, Bob, is the first two wins look better. Denver went from that game last week to pummeling a Buccaneers team that everybody was all over. Oh, I watched all the pregame shows yesterday. You had sit-downs with Baker Mayfield. You had, oh, my God, the Bucs, here we go. They got blown out, and Bo Nix played great. Kirk Cousins, since that game, they had a very impressive win over the Eagles, and they stood toe-to-toe with the Chiefs and got ripped off on a non-pass interference at the goal line at the
end. See, these Chiefs get away with a lot of that stuff. I go back to the last week with that Cincinnati game. I'm sorry, that was the exact same play. There was some contact right at the top.
Yeah.
Two guys are going for a ball.
Yeah, Mahomes would have won the game anyway.
Well, I'll give you, first of all, they screwed up since you mentioned that game. I'm sitting there watching that. How in the world do they have 22-17, they have a 4th and 3, 5, whatever it was, they're in field goal range, you have 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning, and you decide to go for it then. Make it 22-20.
Because you know you're going against
Mahomes. But every coach will tell you in that situation, just keep it alive. If you don't,
not every coach will tell you that. No. And the analytics.
When you have 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning,
right.
And you're within 3, the way that game had gone, I think
they
would have
had stopped them right away and got the ball back and went down to the end zone.
Okay, but
it looked good.
And they were in position to win the game had they done it the first time, kick a field goal, then they would have.
Then the game doesn't play out that way.
Oh yes, it probably does. Yes, it does. My point is
everything's different then. Why are we arguing about the Chiefs? My point there was that the first two wins look better with transpired since.
No question.
I'm all in on this.
Bo Nix is going to be good, by the way.
And if you look at history, again, the Steelers, 10 points or fewer in the first three games, haven't done that since 1973. This looks like a deep, as I said, star-laden defense, and it appears to be in very good hands with Tomlin and Terrell Austin. And as far as the best defenses since 2010, the 2011 team was number one in points and yards, but then Tebow happened, right? I know they had lots of injuries, but Tebow happened. 2017, you mentioned, Bob, was trending toward excellence when Shazier got hurt. And the 2020 unit, they had an 11-0 start. They really helped that, but we know what happened to that team. This is his best defense since the 2010 season when they went to the Super Bowl. Bob, here's the thing. Here's the similarities. You ready for some similarities?
Yes, go ahead.
Talented defensive line that knows its role and makes plays. Bookend pass rushers. Back then, it was James Harrison, Lamar Woodley. Now we know who it is, including the legend known as Nick Herbig.
Plus a third, yeah, who's better than any third they had. Yes,
maybe better than any third in the league. They have that. Probably better because by that point, as I recall, Woodley and Harrison were both starting to fade just a little bit. Now you have Watt at the height of his powers. You have Highsmith and Herbig. The inside linebackers are much better, as you mentioned. Then they were solid all the way around, and then they had a star in the secondary. Troy Polamalu was the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year in 2010. This team has Minka. That team had Ike. This team has Joey Porter. I see a lot of similarities here.
They also have a lot of depth alongside Minka to complement him.
Deshaun Elliott has been really good,
better than I thought he would be. Not only that, they have some reserves who can come in and do it if need be.
So Little Beanie was around the ball a lot
Beanie
yesterday,
Bishop
too.
Beanie Bishop was good. He really was good yesterday, yep. So they got guys who know where the ball's going. They anticipate. They hit hard when it gets there. They do a lot of good things.
Got to stay healthy, and I think
we haven't mentioned Cam Hayward, but yesterday
he
it only
like
says
himself
four tackles,
again.
But
yeah.
He was taking on double team. He was doing a lot of things that created openings for other people.
He was unbelievable. And I wondered coming into this year, what is this going to be like? I doubted it, really. And as you mentioned, we'll see, you know, weeks ahead what kind of shape Cam is in. But man, right now, he looks like the old Cam. This is their best defense in 14 years. 928-9370. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And with all these topics we brought up at the top, let's just call it a six-pack. Our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. Help me out here, gentlemen, because this is bothering me. I was deep in my game tape today when I got a call from my daughter. She needed a ride home. Homecoming was last night. She was at her friend's house. I had to scurry there and bring her home.
She wasn't hungover, was she?
She's 15, Bob.
Okay, never mind. I don't know. I
hope not. I would have been at 15. I don't think she is. So what I was doing at the time and never got a chance to catch up to was Justin Fields only had 7 passes that were not complete. I have 6 of them, Bob. Are you ready? Are you ready, Limits, to help me here and all the listeners? 2 were in the end zone, where they were either catchable or incomplete, to Austin and Pickens. 1 was a great defensive play by the Chargers on a pass to Cordero. 1 was the pick. 1 was a drop by Pickens. 1 was a drop by Freiermuth. That's 6. I need the 7th.
The drops were...
I need the 7th, Bob. What was the 7th incompletion? What was it? Somebody, help me.
I mean, come on now. You're going back on the whole game. You want us to remember 1 incompletion?
Yes, I do.
After the 6 you just mentioned?
And one of our listeners will. What was the other incompletion?
All right,
I think it was
in
the first half. I need to know. Okay. Not just what it was, but I need to see it in my mind. What was it, Limits?
I'm trying to recall.
You should recall. It was...
One play out of 90 that go on the game.
Yes, because it was a rarity. That's what I can't live with myself. I have to remember this, but we'll be back. We'll get it.
Okay, I know where it is, I think.
Where is it?
It's after they had just gone to Pickens for 20 yards.
Yes.
The very next play on 1st and 10, he overthrew, I think it was Freiermuth.
Or was it, I think I know what it was. Was it the play on 3rd and 5, or maybe it was 2nd and 5, after the out route to Calvin Austin, the incompletion?
Yeah.
Which set up the Boswell 62-yard field goal?
Yes. That's
no.
The same
was it that one?
Yeah, that's the same drive I'm thinking
of. No.
Why?
The one
that
in the end
it?
Zone to Austin?
No. The incompletion after the 5-yard out to Calvin Austin, which ended up setting up the 62-yard field goal attempt.
What happened?
It was Fields ended up throwing the ball away with like 6 seconds
right.
left.
You're right.
62-yard field. That's right. That's the same sequence.
I think that's
I had.
What it was.
What a wonderful man you are.
There were
Limits.
2 incompletions on that series. One of them was after they just got 20 to Pickens.
Yes.
And then on 3rd and 5.
He easily could have been 30 of 32. Or maybe 29
against
32.
A really good defense that came in as one of the best in the NFL. That was
I thought
the, thing
the biggest throw of the game, and I'm serious about this. They take a 7-0 lead. Herbert looks awesome. First 2 plays for the Steelers, people get blown up. One was Warren. One I forget who it was. The Chargers were just laying people out, and then on
it was Perryman who hit Hayward, knocked him out.
Hayward killed him.
Yeah.
So it's 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, something like that. And Justin Fields very calmly drills a ball to Pickens for a first
for
down.
For 6 yards.
I don't know why. I don't know why Harbaugh didn't call for a measurement there. I don't know why he didn't call for one later when Jaylen Warren, I think it was 3rd and 1, something like that. He looked stopped to me. Why isn't he calling for a measurement? Why aren't they measuring? Who cares? That was one of the biggest throws of the game. Fields was working behind the sticks a lot. They had a lot of second longs. He had no running game for 2.5, 3 quarters practically. He was under duress at times. They were trailing in the game against a very good defense. Consider all of that, and he delivered an A performance.
On that
Bob.
Same drive,
a.
I have 2, and I normally star the plays I really like. When I put 2 stars by him, that's the one I know.
Yeah.
What you said was important, 6 yards. But the one on 3rd and 4... Scotty Miller was in one-on-one coverage with Asante Samuel.
Yes.
That pass had to be exactly
perfect.
Where it had to be, or else they would have knocked it down and they get no points.
That's what Romo said, too. He said that pass is one inch
to
the inside.
That was a double star pass
for And
me.
He had to break a tackle, too. That was a good job by Scotty
Miller. How about little Scott Miller? Huh?
He had a good game. I mean, he played well. Van Jefferson was out for a bit. What was it, like an eye injury?
They were down to 3
Austin.
Wide receivers because they only dressed
yeah.
4.
Calvin Austin, for the first time in his career, looked like he was part of the offense.
I go back to the Vegas game.
The Vegas game was a one-trick
pony. But that's
what
he is. That's a big
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he actually looked like a receiver running routes and catching passes.
He also
in this
had a
game.
3rd and 14 completion for 26.
Yeah.
That was
right
a big
down
play.
The
right
scene.
Down
Good
the
throw
scene.
By Fields.
That's
they finally
I mean.
Utilized the middle of the field. And you think that's maybe just them getting more comfortable with Fields as we go further and further into the season?
Sure. I think so, and I think Arthur Smith knows he can do more things now.
Yes.
They're starting to trust him more, and it's evident in the play
call. There's that throw right there. Did you see? It's up there now.
Yeah.
The ball, Samuel was right on top of him, and he had to put it right on the
money. And that's the third and 15 throw to that Calvin Austin.
That's what I mean by Austin, Bob. I know he had the big play against the Raiders, but this game – he actually looked like, oh, he's playing receiver. He's running different routes and catching the ball. Matt Canada wanted to use him mostly as two things, a little gimmick guy and a throw the ball as far as you can guy, which they hardly ever did to him either. Now maybe he can actually be a wide receiver. Wouldn't that be a novel concept?
Well, I tell you what, if he continues to do this kind of stuff, given the opportunities, he doesn't have to get 8 targets a game, but if he gets 4 or 5 and he makes 3 big plays, that's all you need from that position.
They're talking about it right now. How dangerous are the Steelers in the AFC? First 3-0 start since 20. 8.7 points per game, best in the NFL. So our three questions for you. Justin Fields is the guy now, right? Moving forward, even if he has a bad game. This is the best Steelers defense since 2010. And yesterday they announced themselves as the favorite in the AFC North and as a legit contender in the AFC. Overreactions or not? 928-9370. All right, Bob, let's go to FanDuel, shall we? Boy, do we have a lot to talk about today, don't we? I'm losing track of this, Bob. I'm very fired up today. Is it the UB hat?
Yeah, because they pulled off. Is that considered an upset?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Against Northern Illinois, of course.
Especially Northern Illinois coming off a big win at Notre Dame.
That's a gigantic upset. I can't wait till everybody who usually slams me for being negative will say I'm too positive today. Have you ever noticed that Cabali goes against the grain no matter what it is?
Yeah, he takes a lot of abuse for
now that. Now he's trying to temper down expectations. They could go 0-10, and he would say, everybody's all over the Steelers. For what? Then he said, people are saying Justin Fields for the Hall of Fame. Nobody's saying
that.
That's the very definition of creating a straw man. Nobody is saying that.
No.
We are saying that he staked his claim to be the Steelers' number one quarterback.
And quarterback of the future.
I don't know that our defense worries about that. They got no control over when or how they take the field. They got all the control on how they get off the field. That's the life we live. I think it was reflected when we turned that ball over, right? When that ball got tipped up in the air and intercepted, you saw the spirit in which our defense took the field. So we're not looking for comfort. We're not looking to hide on the sideline. We'll get ourselves off the field.
You know how else we live, Bob? That negativity inspires us for some reason to action. And I'm talking about phone calls. It's oftentimes the media is accused of negative slants, of jumping on negativity, of being moved by negativity. And I always say it can be fans as well. If the Steelers had lost that game 37-0 or lost it on a horrible coaching decision, we wouldn't have enough phone lines. Now, when we both posit the idea that they're the favorite in the AFC North, that it's their best defense since 2010, all of this stuff, we have two calls on the line.
No,
I'm not even ready to go to that yet, Bob, until we get people who want to mix it up here or at least talk your reaction to the game. We started the show today by saying the Steelers are now the favorites in the AFC North. It's their best defense under Tomlin. In 14 years, 15 maybe, but I can never figure out the math, and that Justin Fields is now the guy at quarterback and has even earned a bad start. Like, even if he has a bad start, if Russell Wilson is healthy, Fields should still get the next one. Surely that should inspire some talk here, Bob, some conversation at 412-928-9370, because the negative sure does, and I'm like that too. I'm not blaming anybody. You know, you get riled up about negativity when things go exactly the way you want. Well, there's nothing to complain about.
No, I find that to be true on some of the shows we do on television also, that it's just, okay, everything's good. There's nothing to complain about. People love to complain. I don't know why. You should also enjoy when you see this kind of success. You know, and again, week by week proposition here, but they're playing very well, and they're doing it when people thought they wouldn't be much of a factor. And now, all of a sudden, they are a factor. And I think that's going to continue for at least the next month.
So, I have a trivia question for you in the midst of all this, Bob, in City Limits. When was the last time the Steelers and Pitt were a combined 7-0?
I know the answer, but do you want me to say it?
No. Why do you know the answer?
Because I saw who tweeted it and put it out there.
Oh, who did?
Jason Mackey.
All right. Well, that takes the steam out of
that. It was a front page of the Mackey Planner, Joe. Come on.
Well, now I don't care anymore, Bob. No.
What was the year? 2000?
1982.
Wow.
Penn State was also
undefeated that year, too.
The year
I started at KDK, you think I would have remembered that?
1982, the Panthers started 7-0 before losing to who? That'll be my other trivia question. They lost their next game to who?
It was in the Cotton Bowl.
No, it wasn't. They were
7-0. No, 7-0, so it had to be before any postseason.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of the postseason.
Oh, jeez.
Wrong. Notre Dame. 31-16. And the Steelers had a nice start that year in an abbreviated season. I guess there must have been a work stoppage that year.
Yeah, that was the year that they did. I remember going to Johnstown, I think it was, where they were.
Did you say hello to Sam Ross while you were there, Bob?
I didn't.
Remember Sam Ross, the sports columnist? Absolutely. Wonderful man from Johnstown. All right, Limits, let's go to the phones, such as they are. Please, give me a person.
Let's go to Nate on the north side.
Hello, Nate on the north side. What's up? Talk to Bob Pompeiani. You've wanted to your whole life. He's right here.
What's up, Nate?
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. I was happy to get through because it's been a while since I've been able to call in. But to hear that you don't have a lot of callers, I'm glad I can contribute. Kind of made my morning. But moving forward, my answer to your questions as far as hypothetically, if Russell Wilson's healthy, do you start him this week, hypothetically? And much like this election, I don't like either choice. But if I have to choose, I would say
Wait a second. You don't like either choice. So, A, why don't you like Justin Fields? And, B, why in the world would you start Russell Wilson at this point in Game 4?
Two reasons. One, I desperately want to see what Russell Wilson can do in a Steelers uniform. But more importantly, even if we make it to the AFC Championship game with Justin Fields and we lose, everyone's going to be saying, man, I wonder if we put Russell in, if we'd have made the Super Bowl. I just see that happening. So that's
because
my feeling.
To Joe's point, that's what people like to talk about. They want to go back, second guess, react, say they should have done this, they should have done that. But you can't live like that, certainly.
I agree. Yeah.
I have an interesting question on that topic. You know, and it has to do with the Steelers. Let's say this all continues, right? Let's say that he has a really good year.
Fields?
Yes.
Yeah.
He becomes unrestricted at the end of this season.
Yeah.
And I would assume he wants to stay right here because it changed everything about his professional life. But because the Steelers don't negotiate until the end of the season or in the offseason, he becomes unrestricted, which means there are teams out there that could do something.
They have made exceptions for quarterbacks during seasons.
Okay.
To negotiate.
But would they do it with his case? Let's say they really decided. You know, they have a long season here, but if, you know, 15 weeks into it, we still see the same stuff. It would be in their best interest to start that ahead of time.
That's a really good question. And I had another one. I teased to it before the break. I think if they're going to make an exception to that rule for a player at another position, that Najee is getting close to that. This is a guy who gives his heart and soul on every carry, Bob. Can you imagine if 8 or 9 games into the season, they simply said, we've signed Najee. This is the kind of guy we'd make an exception for and sign in the middle of a season. I would actually love to see that. I get why they didn't, but man, all he does is show up and play his heart out.
Angry
right?
runs, yes. And he doesn't fumble. You know, I mean, he protects the ball the way they want him to, or any of those guys. You know, they pound that into everyone's head. Tomlin's good about it, and it seems to be working.
Next.
Here's Brian in Brookline.
Brian in Brookline. How are you, Brian?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Bob.
What's up, Brian?
Serafina's hasn't seen you in a while, Bob. You got to go back.
Well, we were there. I'd love to go every night.
Where?
Serafino's in Green Tree.
Right down in Craft, Crafton, yes.
That's great.
And Crinculant. Their white clam sauce is unbelievable, Bob.
It's such a good place. But, yeah, I need to do that. But working every night makes that tough.
So I have a question for you that I want to tell you. I was there yesterday. Set up in 509. Got to see the blown coverage with the Herbert touchdown pass to his receiver. But the energy. Guys, I can't tell you this. We feel like we have a chance. They were using the middle of the field. They running in a third quarter. It just And then when they played Renegade, the whole place went crazy, and the energy level even went up even further. I just think that we have a chance. I'm going to give Arthur Smith a lot of credit for using and scheming people open that Matt Canada couldn't do.
I'm with you on that, man. And I'm glad to hear about the energy, Bob.
Oh, that was a lot.
Because it has felt in recent years at times like it's stale, like it's old, like it's the same thing over and over. And something feels renewing about this team. Man, I don't know if it's a combination. You have a really enthusiastic new guy in Patrick Queen on defense. You have a new quarterback. You have a new offensive coordinator. And I agree with that. There were some calls yesterday I was scratching my head a little bit. But you know what? They should have had 27. They could have had 27 if they'd wanted 27 at the end. I thought that was a grade A-minus maybe offensive performance. And Artie Smith was right about one other thing as well. And I was wrong. Cordarrelle Patterson. I didn't know why he went to him late in the game last week. But he did it again yesterday. And Cordarrelle came in with fresh legs. And he was like a bronking buck
by
the end of the
him.
Game.
At 238 pounds, you know, running at you his size. That's not easy to do.
And I'll tell you another thing. That little play he made down by the goal line where he caught the ball under his leg made it possible for the designed run on the next play. You don't do that from the 8-yard line, but you can do it from, where was it, the 4? The 3?
Yeah, it was inside the 5, so. No, so 4-yard touchdown, I think it was.
That's an underrated
big play.
That was
also an RPO that he executed very well.
Yeah.
Normally, those RPOs have given him a little bit of trouble, I see. Not in this case. He read it beautifully, and you can't stop that if it's done right.
They threw more balls down the seams, straight down the middle yesterday in one game than they sometimes did with Pickett in literally like 5 or 6 games in a row. I mean, he was incredibly accurate, Bob.
Oh, I mean, that's, again, and I think they made Jim and Tony made a point of this talking about the importance of hitting those little dink and dunkers. You may think they're not much, and they are technically checkdowns, but if you put them in the right spot,
yes,
it leads to a few extra yards, and a few extra yards can make a difference down in distance on the next play.
For sure.
If you throw it behind him, we've seen too much of that in the past.
Or into the ground.
Or into the ground, you have no choice but to, you know, you're going to get stopped right there if it is complete. There's no chance for yards after the catch. Those are big. If he executes that, they have to respect that, which should also open up more things down the field.
He's been the opposite of what I thought he was, Fields, in this respect. I thought it was boom or bust. I thought we were going to see, you know, prime Steve Young or Michael Vick 1 week and then Duck Hodges at his worst the next. You know what I mean? And instead, we've seen, as Tomlin would put it, a steady Eddie. He's been very steady. He never looks sped up or rushed. And yesterday he was going against a very good team that was pounding people early in the game. He never looks frazzled. Pickett used to look in the pocket like the whole place was on fire. Like, I got to get out of here. This guy does not look like that.
That's a good description. And his feet would tell you that. And then he'd spin away from the fire, you know, and try to create something in a way that he couldn't.
I didn't know that about him. And he's you mentioned the short passes. We talked about that earlier. Even if it's a 4-yard gain, sometimes the difference between 4 and nothing is if you put that ball accurately. Like, I think of the one where Cordarrelle came behind him and ran a little swing route and he put it right on him. It wasn't a great play, but it was more than it could have been. There were still, by the way, too many negative plays yesterday, Bob. There were like 6 or 7 negative Steeler plays. That's too many for a game. But Fields was just so impressive.
Here's one thing that changed. Tomlin brought in officials during practice, and guess what? They committed only 3 penalties as opposed to 12 or whatever it was the week before.
I thought it was a great football game.
Yeah, it was.
The first half was, that's what I like. I thought the quarterbacks played well. The offenses were pretty good, but the defenses were better. For the
physical,
most part,
both sides.
Physical, violent.
And early on, it was the Chargers who were bringing the heat. You know, they were. Those first few possessions, they were getting after people, hard tackling.
It was fun to watch, and it was well played. You know what I mean? There weren't a bunch of drops. There weren't a bunch of penalties like we've seen in these. That was a great game, I thought. And I think the Chargers, pending their injuries here, are also going to be a team that's heard from down the road here. But, man, all of a sudden, they're just riddled with injuries, and the Steelers had a lot to do with that. All right, more of your calls coming up. The lines are now lighting up. like a pinball machine, Bob. They're lighting up like Pony at a Syracuse basketball
pinball
game.
Wizard, you
like
know
Ballsy at a craft beer
at.
Bar. Like Adam Crowley in Morgantown. We got all six lit up. We want to talk to you.
These we got are, eight.
We got eight. When did we get eight?
We've had eight.
When did we add that? When
Since
I came
I've been here,
here
we've
we only
had eight.
Had, really?
Yeah.
We got all eight lit up, Bob.
But you
How
don't go
that?
Through your progressions like you should.
Oh, we're going to go through the progressions.
You go through the first, then you forget
now
about two through seven. You come on now.
You're the star. You're the star of the show. 412. We're going to go through this, Bob.